The usual story of invasive species goes something like this. An exotic plant or critter hitches a ride on some incoming cargo, alarm bells go off, an eradication campaign starts. But now there's a non-native seaweed that's showing up along America's west coast that breaks the mold. Japanese eelgrass has defenders along with would-be eradicators. Here now is more on this emerging controversy. Willapa Bay produces more shellfish for American tables than any other inlet on the west coast. Brian Sheldon's family has been growing clams and oysters on the tide flats here for three generations.
The nice little holes here are all clams. Yeah. I call this my college fund bed because I tell my kids, this is, you know, you go out and work that bed because that's how you're going to college.
But Sheldon jokes that's shaping up to be an inexpensive state school rather than a plush private college the way things are going. His clam beds should be bare sand. But Sheldon shows how his acreage is being overrun by a green seagrass that really belongs on the other side of the Pacific.
It just takes a little bit of heat, a little bit of good light, and this stuff, it starts to go, and boy, it's...
Yeah, it looks like grass, literally. It hasn't been mowed, it's lying flat.
Like in the summer, this piece of ground here will be completely covered with grass, and it kind of sits in there and it holds the heat in there into the bed, and it makes the clams kind of watery and weaker. You know?
Sheldon says the infestation, his words, has reached devastating proportions. Several neighboring companies have simply abandoned some of their clam beds.
Our yields are down 40% to 50%, you know.
Marine biologists believe the Asian eelgrass was most likely brought to Washington State decades ago in shipments of oysters from Japan. The plant is also called japonica, or dwarf eelgrass. It has since spread north to British Columbia and south along the Oregon coast into California. Shellfish growers want Japanese eelgrass declared a noxious weed so they can spray herbicide or mow the invader down. California has already done so. To the growers, it seems obvious that Washington and its neighbors should follow. The seagrass is not native, it's causing a nuisance, and there are control methods that work. But not so fast, argue some marine scientists, state agencies, and conservationists.
In most areas of the world, these plants are highly protected.
Sandy Wiley Echeverria is a marine biologist with the University of Washington.
So in my mind, the ledger needs more examination. I think there are areas where it has been shown that japonica is a valuable resource, and there are other areas where it's quite mixed.
Wiley Echeverria says in the Northwest, waterfowl like to eat the seagrass. A suite of smaller creatures probably lives and feeds in the vegetation. The eelgrass might also stabilize eroding beaches. The Sierra Club's Laura Hendricks says her group opposes eradication of the accidental colonist, even though it's non-native.
For two reasons. One, it's fish habitat, but more importantly, in their efforts to eradicate Japanese eelgrass, there's a very high probability it could be eradicating native eelgrass. That is something that would have a major impact on our recovery of our species, our fish species and the birds.
Caught in the middle is the Washington State Noxious Weed Control Board. The panel's director, Allison Halpern, floats a possible compromise. List Japanese eelgrass as a noxious weed, but only on commercial shellfish beds.
It might not be the end-all, be-all solution that either side is looking for, but what it does do is allow us to acknowledge it's a problem in one area, but it is not considered a problem in the other areas.
Halpern's gotten some positive feedback, but not everyone's on board yet. Shellfish growers say it's a good start, but worry the plan could require them to fight the non-native seagrass in perpetuity. For VOA News, I'm Tom Bonsi at Willapa Bay, Washington.